up? How's everybody doing?
I hope you guys are ready for this bomb to drop. We're coming in hot tonight.
Yeah, we're going big.
The main ticket item.
The girls.
Our girls.
Lauren Roar.
And I feel like that's something Chris would say.
Oh, he would.
He calls Lore, and he calls them, like,
the Gilmore girls.
Yeah, so I think that's cute.
Yeah, he's the one who, like, says it for the first time.
Yeah.
I think in the show.
Yeah.
He's the first one that you hear say, something about the Gilmore girls.
Well, okay, I have the weirdest memory. I have a really good memory on a select few things in life. But I remember exactly when he said it, and it's the wedding, the renewal of the vows of Richard and Emily. It's the one where Rory is Richard's best man, and Chris gets drunk, and they're at the wedding.
It's that late into the game?
And they're sitting at, like a settee, like on a little couch in the lounge area. And Rory sits by him and he's talking about Lorelai, like romanticizing their like love kind of. Mm-hmm. And he's saying how she was so bold and assertive and she just came up to him and like kissed him. And Rory's like, well, what did you feel about that? And he said, who wouldn't want to be kissed by a Gilmore Girl?
Yeah.
And it's so cute. And you're like, that's the first time you hear Gilmore Girls. Like, Gilmore Girl.
I thought that he said it like when we first meet him. I could be wrong, though.
I don't remember it, but I just remember him saying it then.
Tell us if you know.
Yeah.
But I love that, because that's also when she's like, who wouldn't want to be kissed by a Gilmore Girl? Of course, like, I'm just going to go for it with Logan.
Remember? Yes. Because
that's when she kisses Logan.
Yeah, she full-on makes out with him, and then...
In her
oh,
suit.
My gosh. And then all hell breaks loose, because...
Oh, my goodness.
It's, like, one after another. You know, that scene reminds me of, and I don't know why, because it's, like, nothing like it, but it's, like, you know, when, like... You see, like, all the clowns packed into a car, and, like, they just keep getting out of the car. It's, like, one thing after another
jam-packed.
Yes. It's a lot.
Yes.
It's explosive. That's a very explosive episode, too.
And Luke was there at the event also, right?
That's what I mean. Like, Rory goes in and says something about, like, Rory being with a guy in there. And then Luke's like, there's a guy in there? And he goes in, and then he's, like, yelling. And then Chris, who's drunk also, so is like, there's a guy in there, I'm gonna kill him. And so, like, it's traumatizing for, like, Logan and Rory.
I feel like Logan somehow deserves it for all the havoc that he's caused in his life.
I feel like it's something Logan could brush off.
Yeah,
because of who he is and, like, how he lives his life.
He's an interesting dude, Logan.
We might get to him.
Yeah.
Not this round, but maybe we'll circle back.
I'm excited.
But anyways.
You ready to get started?
Let's get started. Okay, who do we want to start with first? Do we want to start with mom or daughter?
What do you want to do?
Okay, I feel like we are on the same page with Lorelai.
Yeah, probably.
And I feel like Rory could... It'll be a little crazy to me.
We might have some discussion.
Yeah.
We don't know what each other typed.
No, we never know what each other's types. Oh. Well, we kind of know what each other typed for Lorelai, just because she's not that hard to type. And we've discussed this, like, in the past before we even started to do, a podcast.
Yeah, we've talked about her a lot, probably. I send Brandolin memes or, like, clips from the show where I'm like, oh my goodness, I relate to this. Like, I am Lorelai sometimes.
And I think because of that, we know what her type is, because I know what your type is. And I typed her what your type
accordingly.
Is. Yeah.
P.S. If you're new to the podcast, I'm Abigail.
And I'm Brandolin.
And we've been friends for a super long time.
A super, super
long
time.
Like half of our lives. And I am a type 7, and Brandolin, you're a type
8.
We won't get into our wings right now, but just to give you an idea of what we're like, which we will probably do an episode at some point.
Just on our type,
on
kind
our
of.
Own type.
And it would be fun, and we might, is go through characters that are our type.
Yeah.
And
I would
just
love
go,
that.
Yeah, and just kind of go through different different characters we like that share our type.
Well, that's a big part of what you... Well, at least I think what people do when they watch movies or read books, you find the character that you relate with most, whether you're trying or not.
Yeah.
You find them, and then you put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I did that... I actually... Before I was, like, really into the Enneagram, so this was probably, like... I've only really, like... really been into the Enneagram or like studied my type in the Enneagram or other people's types when they tell me their types. I've only done that for probably like maybe a year.
Yeah.
Like I may have known my type before that, but I wasn't really like typing characters that way. I was typing them, but not so much as Enneagram.
Right.
It was more just like...
You had a definition of who you thought they were and why they did what they did.
And who I resonated with.
Yes.
You know? And so it's fun to find out what other people think of characters, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, even... So, I right now live with my brother and his wife. And we watched the Hunger Games series this past year. Uh-huh. And seeing who... Asking them who their favorite characters are is different from my favorite characters. And what's interesting is, like, the people they like, I'm like, okay, like, I could see why they like them.
Why they like them.
May have some personality traits
that they share. Yeah.
Right. So,
Who do you feel like you resonate with the most?
In
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games? A mixture of Katniss and Peeta.
I can see Peeta, and that's one of the reasons I, like, asked you, because I was like, I can't see Peeta. Who do you think I resonate with?
I think if I were to really be honest, it would probably be Peeta, though.
I see it, but I don't at the same time. I see, like, a side of you very strongly, like, that I can, like, yeah, very Peeta. But there's, like, another side of you, too. But I also think because of the world that the Hunger Games is in, you would probably adapt and be more like Peeta, if that makes sense.
I think in that situation, I would be more like Peeta than,
like, I feel like the Sevens kind of, like, whimsy would be dampened in a world like that.
Yeah.
And so I can kind of see you not being, because Peeta is whimsical in different ways.
Yeah.
He's a little, like, he finds other ways to express himself, like,
yeah,
with,
like,
his, like, art and his decorating of cakes. And,
right,
like,
he
you
works
know.
At a bakery. That's probably not his dream job, but he, like, uses it, or he has it, and then he uses his creativity to make it maybe more exciting.
Yeah, for him.
Yeah.
He, like, kind of creates his own adventure, if that makes sense.
What about you? Which one do you think?
I want to know who you think I would be more like, and then I'll tell you, like, I would have said Peeta, so I feel like we should have done it to each other first.
Oh, you would have said Peeta?
I would have said Peeta for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, but I would have said, like, a mixture, though, of Peeta.
I feel like you would be Katniss.
I can see Katniss, but do you know who I see myself as? And I don't necessarily love it.
Gale. Yeah.
I see Gale with a little bit of Katniss.
Yeah.
And I see you with a little bit of Katniss.
Yeah, that's
like Peeta and a little bit of Katniss, and I'm Gale. But I feel like such is life. That is, like,
we're
very us.
And an eight.
Yeah.
So we overlap. We have our own very like strong individual like personalities, but we overlap.
Yeah. I can see us like finding common ground in Katniss.
We're basically a Venn diagram.
Basically, she's Peeta and I'm Gale, and Katniss is our common, like, commonality there.
We're so weird.
I know. Anyways, this isn't about the Hunger Games.
Oops. Sorry. Not sorry. We'll get there.
We should do Hunger Games.
We should.
But you know what's funny? We just typed the three main, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think I'm more like Gale. Gale's an eight. But I feel like Gale is a different wing than Katniss, because I think Katniss is an eight, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they don't work.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion for that movie, because I could definitely dissect it.
And you know what? I might change my mind if I watch them again.
Yeah.
But, like, I read the books, and so I'm kind of pulling from book and movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is about the Gilmore Girls, and we are going to talk about the Gilmore Girls.
All right, let's go. Do we want to do Lorelai first?
Yeah, let's do Lorelai.
Okay.
Do you want to say it at the same time?
Lorelai, yeah.
Okay.
We
She's
think
a,
that she is
a seven
wing
eight.
She is, like, the definition, I think, of, like, the caricature of a seven, of a type seven, just in general, like, with
the
opening.
Well, kind of what characters are, is a caricature of a real person.
Right.
Like,
a caricature.
They're based charcuterie board of.
a caricature of a personality.
Yeah.
A personality just, exaggerated.
They're exaggerated completely. Yeah.
Well, even the opening scene where, you know, they're playing the
there she goes. Yeah. They want, I feel like I've been listening to the podcast you sent me on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to an episode today, and it was like they were talking about the first episode, and I totally agreed. But they're saying, like, the pilot, the very first episode, they have 40, 45 minutes to get you to know who the character is.
Yeah.
So I feel like Lorelai, Rory, anyone you see in that first episode is over-exaggerated, even what they are in the show later.
Yeah.
Because they want you to know who the character is.
Right.
And, yeah, in the first episode, you're like, okay, this is what Lorelai wants out of life and how, you know, she wants to live it. And how she is living it. And then, like, okay, this is Rory and how, you know, she's going to be. And I feel like they kind of back off a little bit as time goes.
Once they get some security with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you give your reasons first?
This is
what we like to do, to take turns, just because we both have several thoughts. And
when
then
we
discuss.
Agree, it's easier. We just kind of discuss the reason point by point. When we don't agree, which is a lot, not that we disagree, but we just type differently. There's a little bit more discussion because we kind of both have to kind of like lay out our reasoning.
Right.
And with this, I think we'll agree, but we still might have different points.
Well, that's the thing, is I want to hear why you think she's a 7-wing 8, because I want to hear your perspective on that.
Yes.
Compared to like the things that come to my mind.
Well, and we type differently. You type for different reasons than like I type for. Like we were talking about that earlier.
And a person is complex. Like a personality is complex. There's a lot of like many facets to even.
Yeah.
To any body, any personality. So I want to hear.
Okay. So Lorelai, 7-wing 8, nicknamed when you're a 7-wing 8, the opportunist. Just a couple of things I wrote down, kind of like when you read about this certain type. They're determined and protective, and they're tough and work oriented. And I think, like, yeah, Lorelai is those things. She's a lot of other things, but she's a career woman, like, through and through from the beginning. She worked her way up the ladder and then eventually has her own, she's her, like, own boss.
Mm-hmm.
She's
boss.
Determined, which, I mean, what I just said shows that. And then she's protective of people who she, like, loves. Even people who I feel like she isn't crazy close to, she's still very protective over people.
Yes.
She doesn't like for people to get their feelings hurt. She doesn't like that kind of thing.
Right.
Basic fear. A 7-wing 8's basic fear is being deprived. And I think...
Yes!
Let me echo Abby's thoughts.
reading my mind?
But when I think about Lorelai as a character, it's probably being deprived, but it's being deprived of something specific for her. And I don't know exactly what that is. For me, I think it'd be being deprived of... quality time.
Huh.
It's kind of how I see it.
Okay, I can see
she
that.
She wants to spend time with her daughter. She wants to spend time with Luke. She wants to spend time with Suki. She wants to spend time with all these people. But she has all this other stuff going on.
Right.
And when they get taken away from her, she kind of, not self-destructs necessarily, but she throws a fit. Yeah. We'll say she throws a fit. Basic desire would to be content and satisfied. And I definitely see that. She wants to feel satisfied. It's just hard for her to feel that. But that's like, I do think she's chasing that a lot.
Yeah.
Some of the things that the 7-wing 8 would do is justify negative actions or emotions because they don't want to deal with them.
Yeesh.
They seek opportunity, and they prioritize optimism and gratification. Some strengths that I wrote down: high energy, self-confidence, assertive, can remain calm in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Very Lorelai to me. I mean, she's had some crises happen. Crises? Is that
whatever.
Right?
It's like,
had some stuff happen.
It's like caramel and caramel.
Yeah.
Kind of however you want to say it. I mean.
Well, I think it's crisis when it's one and crises when it's more than one.
Okay.
But she's had some, she's had more than one crisis on her hands. I will find a way to say it that I like. And she's really good under pressure.
Yeah, she is.
Many times, even little things when they come up. Like, one thing I'm thinking of right now is when her and Suki do the catering at the birthday party, and they're supposed to do the kid's birthday. Oh, yeah. And Suki isn't into children's birthday parties, but she wants to do it anyways.
Like, gourmet.
And, like, the green macaroni and cheese. Yes. And the cake is, like, a butter, rum, something, yeah, like, and fruit. Yeah,
like, all really tasty-sounding things. Oh, yeah. Like, people in their 30s, like, or 40s. Yeah.
So, like, I want to eat at Suki's place every day, but
5-year-olds are going to see green mac and cheese
and they're like, no, I'm not going to eat that. And but Lorelai's, oh, it's fine. We'll do this, this, and this. And, I mean, she is kind of, like, dismissive of Suki, but Suki's having a hard day, so, like, Suki's taking it a little bit personally, too.
Yeah.
But Lorelai takes control and is very,
she
like...
She has to get it done. She knows she has to get it done.
And she's like, we can do this. We'll go do this, this. And she, like, delegates and, like, gets it done. And, like, she does that with a lot of things. When the inn burns, when... I don't know. I just feel like in a lot of different... I feel like it is different when it's her personal life and work life. But work life, I definitely see her remaining calm. Some weaknesses. Impatient. Lorelai. That's one thing of... Like, that's a trait of hers that, like, it's hard for me to get past. And then not following through.
Ooh.
Oops. And I feel like both of those are very true for Lorelai. And I wrote down, we love her. She's an amazing mom and a person. She's loving. She loves her people well. She also rushes people because she's so impatient. And she gets even more impatient when she doesn't feel like she's in control of the situation.
Yeah.
And those are just kind of some things I jotted down. Those are my reasonings for Lorelai being a 7-wing 8.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Liked it. Okay, so surely you guys can distinguish our voices by now, but this is Abigail speaking, and I am a 7-wing 8. Hey, Mom. Mom just texts me. You bet. So I am a 7-wing 8. So when I watched Gilmore Girls for the first time, I don't think I knew about the Enneagram. But I, like, things would happen, and I'd be like, oh, I know why you did that. Like,
yeah, you could probably get in her head a little.
I felt that. I've been in that situation. I know what it's like to self-destruct.
Right.
Like, I know that sounds negative, but it's all because...
Okay, but
it comes from being
human.
Yeah, and it does come from the self-destruction sometimes is a result of optimism. I know that may sound weird, but, like, you see a situation with rose-colored glasses that other people can see, that other people see realistically. So you take your realist... this is how I like to explain it. Sometimes I have my realism glasses on, and I take them off, and I put my rose-colored glasses on when I want to see something the way I want to see it.
Yeah.
And so I see it in this, from this optimistic point of view. And even though I could see it realistically if I chose to, I don't. So yeah. I see it the way I want to see it. So I see it from an optimistic point of view. Like, it'll work out. Like, you know, we'll beat the odds. You know, it's going to be great. And then it explodes and self-destructs. And it's like, oh.
Do you think that's kind of, like, justifying things so you don't have to, like...
Maybe.
So you don't have to think that they're not negative? Like, do you justify it in an optimistic way?
It
like
is
you,
a way of justifying the situation.
And, like, that's the word usage they used when I was researching. But I feel like it's similar to what you're saying now. Instead of, like you said, like, choosing to see it a realistic way, you're like, but I would rather look at it this way and not deal with anything that feels negative right now.
Right, because if you know you want something to work out, like, for example, when Lorelai and Chris get together after her engagement with Luke doesn't work out and they go to Paris and it's like, oh, this feels great, and, you know, she marries him against her deep gut, and I could, you know, I feel like you can tell, but, like, I really felt that. I was like, in her gut of guts, she knew, you know, as a, I think as a person, but as a 7-wing 8, against your strong feelings.
That's the title of this episode. in her gut of guts.
You know, like deep, like in that, the pit of your stomach, the pit of the pit. You feel it, and you, like, that's the thing is I'll feel it deep, deep down that it's wrong, but my emotions and desire to push away negative feelings, I will take on a new challenge and say, you can like this.
Or, like, yeah, like, you can no, like this. We can work with this.
We can work with this. You can learn to love this because you love everything.
Yeah.
You know, you like this
you
situation.
Like new
you
like things. This person. You like this job.
Like, you know. So, yeah, I just, like, I see Lorelai as someone who has good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, has rose-colored glasses on most of the time, so that's like the seven. But she feels like if she feels caged in, this is going to be a big one for me in describing Lorelai. Is she seeks freedom and she seeks independence, and as soon as she starts to feel like the door of the birdcage is shutting, she, like, beats the door down and is like, no, I'm free. Like, I'm out of here. I'm free. Like, with Max, as soon as things started to feel comfortable, as soon as it was actually time to get married, she was like, no. Never mind. Peace out.
Well, and as soon as something wasn't going to be the way she wanted it specifically.
And I think that might be, like, the eight wing part of her, because...
Well, an eight,
like the wanting to have control of the
basic
situation.
Fear is being controlled too,
right? And Lorelai doesn't want to be controlled. No way. She wants to be free, and she doesn't want to be controlled. Which seven wing eight fears being deprived, and that's like the perfect storm. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to be deprived of what you want, and it's a really strong feeling not wanting to be deprived, and it can keep you from a lot of things. And it does keep Lorelai from a lot of opportunities. But the nice thing about it is it also spurs her on to not give up and to keep trying for, you know, her basic desire, which is, what was the Seven Wing Eight's desire?
It was going to be...
to feel secure, right?
Satisfied. Content.
And content. Yeah. And we see every once in a while when Lorelai breaks down, she just wants somebody to choose her. She just wants somebody to love her. She wants somebody to actually take care of her, which I feel like she only admits when she's, like, really
upset.
Beat up and upset.
Mm-hmm. Some things have happened that, like, got her down. She's feeling down.
I think at one point she says, like, I think she feels like, is it ever going to work out for me?
Yeah.
So she's feeling deprived of that security and love, but it comes from...
herself, kind of.
From not wanting to be controlled.
Yeah.
So it's like this constant battle inside of her.
Well, and she doesn't give it all. She's not... She is impatient, but she doesn't give it all, you know, from what outsider looking in. It's like, as soon as there's, like, a minor roadblock, it's like she sees it as a red flag immediately.
Right.
It's like, that's my out. I feel like she sees, like, anything, and she can go, okay, well, that's my out.
Especially if she already had doubts about it.
Yeah.
Then she can use that to justify her decision to step away.
Yeah.
On a side note, some of the fun things about her personality, like her addiction to coffee. Mm-hmm. Sevens are known to be indulgent and have addictive personalities. Like, I think I've read, like, habits of... Sevens are more likely to be, like, alcoholics or, like...
Interesting.
I think, yeah, like, will get addicted to things. And so, like, she is an indulgent person.
She eats whatever she wants, and she drinks whatever she wants. Like, she drinks so much coffee.
Yeah, she's, like, addicted to coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, she makes sure, like, I need coffee in an IV.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness, that is so funny. Like, yes, need that. But yeah, and she's indulgent. She's not like, okay, Rory, you can pick one thing out from the grocery store. She's like, get all the ice cream you want. We've got all you have their coffee table with, like, the Pop-Tarts and the Twizzlers and the popcorn.
And they make, like, these crazy extravagant, like, nights out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is definitely a seven. I'm, like, the person that whenever I'm with a personality that's not like mine, I'm like, do it. Like, you know, splurge.
Yeah.
Oh, you're trying to choose between the two? Get them both. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And that's definitely.
Indulge a little bit.
I feel like a 7 trait.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I'm an 8 and I don't. I'm not that friend. I mean, I am in certain situations, but I'm more of a, like, well, where are you going to wear that? How many times are you going to wear that?
I'll wear it once.
I know. But, like, how many times are you going to wear that?
Yes.
Do you need two of the same thing?
Practical.
I'm a little bit more practical when it comes to certain things. Or, like, but then I'm not in certain ways, too. Like, if I feel like that person hasn't, like, had a good time or, like, they, you know, need yeah. it, then I'm like, you should treat yourself, you know? But, I mean, day to day, I have friends like Jessica will send me like, do we like this one or this one? Like, or, and I'm not like, get both. That's never me. I'm like, I think you should get this one because it blah, blah, blah. Like I give her examples and like give her all my reasonings yes. of like why she needs to pick the blue dress and not this dress. Like,
I've seen or read something that was saying like the type of ice cream that different types would get. And we're talking about ice cream, like what ice cream would this type want? And I think for the 7, it was like
a hot fudge sundae,
all the, like all the flavors
or a banana
not
split.
Just one flavor, but like
yeah
all of them.
I see like a banana split very much for like that, just because it has 3 different kinds of ice cream, 2 different kinds of toppings
and then
extras.
For me, like, I was...
Indulgent, for sure.
After I read that, I was like, okay, I see that, but I would want the most indulgent kind. Like, I don't necessarily need to have all the flavors, but I want the most expensive one that's, like,
has
all of the, like, whatever. If I go to, like, Andy's frozen custard and you get one free topping, I'm gonna get 3 toppings because I want 3 toppings.
Yeah. I can see that.
So, it's not that I want every flavor, but I want what I like most.
Yeah, and you want a lot of it. Like,
so 7s can have a hard time with like self-control
mm-hmm.
and self-discipline in the parts of their life where they're like, this is gonna make me feel good or feel better.
Yeah, I can see that. Do
and
you
think
it's
Lorelai
like
does
do you think
that.
It's like a dopamine hit for you each time you like
I'm
indulge
also like a
like adrenaline yeah
quote adrenaline junkie
mm-hmm. See, I feel like I am that.
So I chase the...
But, like...
The next high.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing for 7s is they chase the next high. They chase the next adventure. They don't really ever see, like, a plateau in front of them. They see a climb.
Mm-hmm.
And a point to get to. And when you get to that point, you haven't arrived still.
Like, yeah.
There's still a
You're
next...
Like, there's next.
There's
What's
still
next?
A next point. And that's how Lorelai is. Like, you don't really ever see her settle. She's always striving for something.
Yeah, I mean,
more.
Even like in her career.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
With the dragonfly, she wants to start her own inn. Yeah.
And then when she has her own place, it's what can we add to it? What can we do this? Or, you know, she's always trying to better.
And then the 8-wing part that I think of is with her relationship with Rory. She kind of... She'd be the last person to admit it, I'm sure. But I think she likes to have a certain amount of control over Rory and
mm-hmm.
what Rory likes, what Rory does, Rory's relationship with her grandparents.
I think she
feels out of control when Rory starts to develop relationships with her grandparents. She's like, it's not necessarily that she's like, oh, I don't like my parents. It's, I don't have control over her relationship with them, and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, it makes her feel like... I also think it makes her feel a little, like, left out, a little lonely, kind of sad mm-hmm. that, like, Rory's going to have a relationship with people that she's not... she doesn't have a good relationship with.
Yeah. Although, and it appears...
And it's a little jealous.
It seems to be jealous. Sometimes.
I think she's a little jealous, and I mean, throughout the show, there's all kinds of different themes about it, but, like, when Rory does something that, like, she enjoys in her quote-unquote grandparents' world, Lorelai feels a little jealous of, like, the way they did it for Rory. They make it more fun than they would have for Lorelai, or they dote on Rory differently than they would have doted on Lorelai, and she feels jealous of that. Like, why didn't you do that for me?
Yeah, even Richard, like, getting Rory a book, like, that he thought mm-hmm. she'd really like. Like, that would sting a little bit if that was your dad. he didn't ever do anything like that for you.
Right.
But now he's doing it for your daughter.
And, I just also think that, like, there were so many different personalities in that house when Lorelai was growing up. And a lot of hopes and dreams were hung on Lorelai. That, like, strong personalities. Again, we're dealing with exaggerated personalities. Yeah. So, like, when you look at their family, each type is so exaggerated and they don't always get along. And I feel like so much, you know, Emily put so much time and energy into Lorelai being something, just like Lorelai does for Rory.
Mm-hmm.
But Lorelai doesn't want to see that.
Yeah, it may look different to her.
Yeah.
But it's the same
same concept.
Same template.
Yeah.
Like, you're working with the same template but different colors.
Emily put a lot of pressure on Lorelai to do this, this, and this, and she never probably asked Lorelai what she wanted. That's just not Emily's way. But I think that, and that's not the right way all the time, yeah. But like, she put all this time and energy into some, like, thinking this is what Lorelai is going to be, and then when Lorelai wasn't that, and even before that, I just feel like Lorelai didn't respect, when she was a teenager, she didn't respect her parents.
Yeah.
She didn't like the way they lived their lives. She didn't like their stuffy friends. She didn't like what they did. She didn't like their parties. She didn't like that world. So I just feel like for Lorelai, it was never going to be an easy relationship with her parents.
Yeah.
Because she was never going to like those things.
She literally felt like a black sheep. She felt like she was cut from a different cloth.
And she couldn't make herself, I feel like once she had Rory, she couldn't make herself fit into the mold anymore.
And she didn't want to. She made mm-hmm. that choice also.
Yeah.
She did. But I'd say, like, bottom line, like, the awesome thing about Lorelai is she makes everybody feel good.
Mm-hmm.
She's charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
She can talk her way out of anything. Which is a sudden trait, like, charismatic. Situation might be bad, but after they enter the room and leave, things are changed. The atmosphere feels a little bit different. She's an uplifter. She,
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people like her because she makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, a more negative thing would be her lack of seeing reality in situations that are the closest to her. She can see
it's very personal.
Far away, but mm-hmm. when it's personal to her, she doesn't see realistically, she doesn't think rationally, and she only thinks with her heart, which is a fatal flaw sometimes for sevens. They think they act with their hearts and don't let their minds make the decision for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of her issues, is if she wouldn't have made so many heartfelt choices, she could have made a mixture of what her heart says and what her head tells her and skipped ahead, you know, not had to go through so much hurt to get to where she wanted to be.
Right.
But that's what I think about her. I think Lorelai's awesome, but sometimes
I do too. I love
really
Lorelai.
Like,
she can
be like,
frustrate me, and I want to, like, shake her and be like, look at the situation you're in, or like, because I feel like a lot of the times she does bring it on herself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's chosen not to face it for a while, and then the situation gets a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I love Lorelai, and I think she has a really big heart.
All sevens out there, if you push away negative feelings and hurt long enough, it will catch up with you. Face your feelings.
Process.
Face the negative feelings.
Process them.
Let them come, because mm-hmm. then you can let them go, and they don't have to build up and destroy
relationships or future plans.
Yes
Yeah.
All right, we ready for all Rory pants? Rory pants. Oh no, Brandon looks like nervous.
I think I am, because I'm just gonna be honest with you guys, I'm kind of a little hard on Rory, and I almost feel bad about it now. Because, you know, she's just a fictional character. But I almost feel bad, because it's like, for most of the series, she is a kid.
Yeah, she is, but she acts like an adult. It's like, okay, well, she is an only child, but you know, when you have the first child and grandchild in your family, and they're hanging out with all the adults for like maybe 4 or 5 years before another kid comes along.
Mm-hmm.
So they communicate with adults all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just, they advance differently. Like, mm-hmm. they're more mature because that was their environment. Whereas, like, a fifth child is being raised by other kids a lot of times. So I feel like Rory's kind of advanced in her age. She seems like an old soul until she becomes a roaring teenager.
I just feel like, though, sometimes you can treat a kid like an adult, but you still have to remember that they are a child. And so I'm a little hard on Rory, but that's because I'm looking at her character as a whole, not just the early years and not just the college years and not just like a year in the life years.
I'm kind of looking at
the choices that she makes, the relationships that she chooses to build or not, like how she deals with conflict, how she deals with stress, like not just like, because I feel like season one Rory is just season one Rory.
Yeah.
Over time, her character arc is going to be different.
She's not like Lorelai. Lorelai is true blue Lorelai. She is herself.
But she's an adult. She's not finding herself anymore.
But Lorelai has found her. Luke changes.
I don't feel like Luke changes, though.
Really?
I feel like Luke
grows. He definitely grows. But in growing, I feel like
his core, he indulges. I don't feel like he changes. I feel like he compromises, but we'll get to Luke on our next one. Because I have a lot to say about Luke too. But okay, so
P.S. I'm hard on Rory too. Even when I watch the show,
she's a frustrating character.
I'll be honest with you guys. She may be one of my least favorite characters of the show.
Yeah,
just because she is frustrating. But if you look at it, her and Lorelai are both the ones that are going to cause the plot to thicken, you know? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are going to have the issues, the hard times, make the bad decisions, make the good decisions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm pretty judgmental of Rory's character.
I was of Lorelai too, though.
Not in a way that in real life, like, if she was my friend, I would not judge her that way, but like,
She's a character. Yeah.
Watching a TV show and seeing it, I feel like you're more justified in like judging characters and their choices.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because it's a story, so you're like, oh.
But I
cannot believe.
It's basically like when you watch a horror movie, though. You don't watch very many, I guess. But when you watch a movie or a thriller and someone does something like goes back in the house or doesn't leave immediately, call for help, and you're just sitting there like, you are the dumbest person. Like, you're judging them the whole time.
You're like,
you know what?
Yeah, okay, you go back in that house.
I'm gonna tell them you're hiding in that stupid place.
I'm texting him right now. Hey, she went back inside.
Yeah. She didn't go out the door when she opened and shut it and made you think she went out, but you know she didn't go out. Anyways, that's how we are with characters. We like to dive in. We like to dissect the characters. It's our, by the way, I don't know if we told you this, but we aren't experts on the Enneagram.
No.
These are all for funsies. These are opinions that we draw off of the knowledge we have and the research we do personally. I don't run a website. Crystal does.
Crystal knows.
Because Crystal knows.
Crystal knows.
We talk about Crystal all the time because the girl knows stuff.
She knows. Check her out on Crystal.
CrystalKnows.com. It's just CrystalKnows.com because you know what? She knows stuff.
Not sponsored. But Crystal, if you hear this.
But hey, Crystal.
Slide into our DMs.
We'll cite you every episode because we like to know what you know.
Yeah, we get it.
You know stuff.
You know. Oh, geez.
Okay.
Okay. Are you...
You go first.
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first. No. I want you to go first. What are you typing, Rory?
So, Rory, I typed as a 3-wing 4.
Oh. No.
Snap.
That's not my take.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I've got a hot take, though.
Oh, snap. Okay, let's hear it.
Rory is a 5-wing 6.
Okay. I thought about a 5. 5-wing 6. I look forward to hearing your insight.
Me too. I want to hear what you myself has to say. All right. Me too. I'd like to go first. Just kidding.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay, so this is Abigail. I chose Rory as a 3-wing 4, and it was so hard to choose what I thought she was going to be, because I, for like 2 days, was like, okay, she's a 9, which is...
Wing 1.
I thought she was a 9 because when I've talked to Brandolin about her before, I was like, she avoids conflict.
Yeah,
like the flu, like the plague, she avoids conflict. She has to be a 9. But then I got to reading and I was like, oh, man, like... That's not it. Like, there's got to be something...
Yeah.
Something deeper. And then...
Do you want to hear what most people typed her?
Yeah.
A 1-wing 9.
A 1-wing 9.
Which I get on a surface level. I just couldn't type her that.
Yeah, I think... You want to pause it?
Yeah. What's funny to me, though...
And we back.
Oh, hello. It was a smaller omission. Okay, so one thing that I think is funny, too, I think I just said what people think.
Yes.
She is.
A lot of people think she's a 1-wing 9.
A 1-wing 9, which I can see on surface level, like I said, but I just, like, after really getting into, like, her choices and, like, what she, her personal life, not just her, like, on paper, if you look at, like, all the things she's achieved, you might see a 1-wing 9.
I just don't.
But, like, for me, when you get into, like, her personal life, I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
Like, as a whole. Also, one thing that I do think is funny, though, and you did a 3-wing 4, right?
Yeah.
And I did a 5-wing 6. We both had ties to what we typed Jess. Because Jess was a 4-wing 5.
Yeah.
And I felt like that worked for me, though, because they have something in common. And we think they might have different things in common, because you have her 4 in common and I have the 5 in common. But, like, I still felt like they were closer in personality than her being this one perfectionist peacemaker.
Yeah.
And then Jess being this individualist, like, thirsting for knowledge. I felt like she's more like that than she is what people in the town think she is.
Right.
This angel child.
Yeah.
Which, she's not a bad person. She's just a person.
Right.
But...
In choosing 3-wing 4, I was thinking about her as a 1. And when I think of a 1, I think of someone who abides by the rules, who does what's right no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Rory do that over time.
I agree.
She knows that she's making an immoral choice. She has an affair twice.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really feel like a 1 would be able to do that consistently. Maybe they might make it
everyone makes mistakes.
A mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she does.
She's having a full-on relationship.
Yeah. And she does it twice. So I was like, no, she can't be a 1. Like, that's not within character of a 1, I didn't think. That was part of my rationale.
I get that. Mm-hmm.
And then the 9, I was reading about the 9. And yeah, conflict, avoid it. But the other things were like, she's just too ambitious to be a 9, I think.
I agree.
And too success-driven. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to look at the 3 and see about that. Because I also wondered about 4. I was like, her and Jess have... They're similar.
Yeah.
They're different, but they're similar. So I was like, what's a 3? Yes. What about a 3-wing 4? And so I'll share a little bit of...
Mm-hmm.
Of why I chose.
I'm excited to hear. Like, I'm excited to hear this. This was going to be fun.
So, I'll read just about the 3 first, and then I'll go into the 3-wing 4. 3 is the achiever. Success-oriented, pragmatic, adaptable, excelling, driven, and image conscious. And this is from the EnneagramInstitute.com. Threes are self-assured, attractive, and charming. Okay, hence what the townspeople think of her. They're charmed by Rory.
Yeah.
Ambitious, yes. Competent, check. Energetic, yes. They also, they can also be status conscious and highly driven for advancement, which we don't really see at first, but as time goes on, we see that that seems to be like a desire she has that she wants to suppress and doesn't. She doesn't want to be success driven, but yet she does. But yet she does.
I feel like that comes out a lot in college for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. and she's definitely a workaholic when it comes to studying. She's like, that is her priority. Mm-hmm. Is she's got to study. She needs to ace the test,
mm-hmm.
especially early on. So yeah. Then let me pull up the 3-wing 4 because Crystal knows.
Because Crystal knows.
So, it's got so much information on the wings. It's so cool. So a 3-wing 4 is called the expert. And people with an Enneagram type 3-wing 4 personality predominantly take on features of the type 3. And I was like, okay, yes, I think
she's mostly a 3 to you.
Four, she's mm-hmm. gonna be more 3 because she seems to be success driven if we're gonna type her a 3.
Yeah.
They tend to be ambitious, focused, serious in their behavior, which she does. She is more serious than Lorelai. She can let loose when she's feeling good, but if she's stressed, she's not like, oh, haha.
No, not at all.
You know, mm-hmm. she's like, I gotta be serious.
Yeah.
Career oriented, more introverted than other 3s. Because usually when you think of the 3, you think of well-dressed, like an NBA player, you know, somebody who's on the screen, who's on the TV screen.
Kind of magnetic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But this is saying that 3-wing 4s are more tend to be more introverted than the normal, like, 3, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to find much of their identity in their work and are very task-focused. I just connected with this for her because she's focused, she's task oriented when she's healthy, when she's in a healthy state. Basic fear is failure, afraid of failure. They tend to throw themselves into their careers and do anything it takes to succeed. Basic desire, the most basic desire is to succeed and feel valued. They may show this by seeking validation of their hard work and success. So I also wanted to look up what a 3 is like at their best, or a 3-wing 4 is at their best, and when they're in an unhealthy state. Because I was thinking mm-hmm. about, like, when Rory goes through her, like, identity crisis and quits college.
Yeah.
And, so at their best says that 3-wing 4 is self-accepting, inner-directed, authentic, modest, charitable, which Rory does a lot for her town.
She does. She volunteers for a lot of different things, and she likes doing
it. And she is modest. She mm-hmm. doesn't go around being like, I am
she
so
actually
smart.
Is bothered by people who are putting like that or putting like themselves on blast, kind of like mm-hmm. she doesn't like that.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, modest, charitable, mm-hmm. self-deprecating humor. Interesting, isn't that interesting?
I'm trying to think
of
her being,
I didn't really think about
like,
that, but now that I read it out loud, I'm like, I get it. Her humor is kind of unique. She does...
Every now and then she's a little self-deprecating, but I feel like it's a little fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what's
But I mean,
one?
You don't have to hit every single, you know.
Awesome, charitable. Oh, and fullness of heart emerge. Gentle and benevolent. So, fullness of heart emerge. I think that's really neat. Like, at their best, it's like their heart comes to the surface and they're
and
maybe
I see
a little
that
bit more
her.
Warm and fuzzy and mm-hmm. expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because they feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then at an unhealthy level, now I'm thinking like when she steals a boat with Logan.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Or she is living at her grandparents' house and sleeping in every day, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So unhealthy level, fearing failure and humiliation. So So she got told by Logan's dad that she didn't have it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wow, fearing failure and humiliation. That to her is humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
Can be, I cannot say this word.
Exponentially?
Exploitative, exploit. How do you say this word? Or how do you describe that? That one.
Exploitative?
It's hard to say. Making use of a situation or treating others unfairly. So she definitely, sorry guys, don't know my English. Definitely could see how she pushes blame off onto other people.
Yes.
And when she's unhealthy, she doesn't take the blame. She starts to push it on other things. With Logan's dad said she didn't have it. So it's his fault that she's not going to continue. I think.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like kind of like pushing it off and covetous of success of others. So seeing other people succeed and being jealous of it, like coveting that, being like, I wish that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see her doing that maybe silently.
Yeah.
Seeing.
Just not voicing it, but feeling it.
Right. Like seeing mm-hmm. somebody else succeed in the position she wants.
Yeah.
Paris becomes the editor of the paper when she's gone, right?
Yeah.
And she's probably, that probably just kills her.
Mm-hmm.
Willing to do, quote, whatever it takes to persevere the illusion of their superiority. So, doing whatever it takes to still feel superior.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that because Rory separates herself from her mom. Now, she is in charge of her own life. She's in charge of her own choices. She's the superior.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to pull away from Lorelai because Lorelai is going to be the superior saying, you need to shape up. You can't quit school. So now she's, doing whatever it takes to keep this illusion that she has of being in charge of her own life and her own choices. So that also I felt like, and I am looking at Rory's negative choices in this, but this is the unhealthy level.
Yeah.
So also I found out that when moving in the direction of stress, driven 3 suddenly become disengaged and apathetic at 9. Like a 9.
Mm-hmm.
However, when moving in the direction of growth, vain, deceitful 3s, which is not how Rory is originally because she's a healthy 3 when she's a 3.
Yeah.
But in growth, they become more cooperative and committed to others. And I just see her at her best. She is there for her mom. She is there for Lane. She's there for her boyfriend, whoever it is, even if they're treating her badly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just I really connected with the 3-wing 4. I feel like she does fear failure.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. She doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily want to, she doesn't just see it as, I want to be the best. I want to be the best of the best. I want to succeed. I'm going to be the MVP. I want to be the editor. I want to, but it's more so she holds herself to a standard that if she doesn't meet it, she's failing. And if she fails, that's just the worst. She doesn't want to fail as a student. She doesn't want to fail as a daughter. She doesn't want to fail as a friend. And when she does, she kind of recluses into herself
mm-hmm.
instead of facing it. And I think mm-hmm. that's an unhealthy trait. Is when she does come upon problems, she recluses. And that's why I thought she was a 9. Because she conflict avoids. She doesn't talk to her mom, her best friend, for a long time.
Yeah.
Because she's holding on to her pride. Toxic pride. And I just thought, the one thing, one of the reasons she wouldn't be a 9 in that situation is because a 9 will do whatever it takes to bring peace. She would go make up with her mom. But she didn't. She would go smooth things over with Jess.
Yeah.
Those loose ends that she left, she wouldn't be comfortable having left them, I don't think, if they were very important to her. because that would disturb her inner peace. But I don't think she's a 9. I think she's okay with her inner peace being suppressed and undisturbed. Like,
yeah,
just let this set under the rug and forget about it and not face it. And I think that it seems like to me that failure drives her a lot. Like, the fear of failing drives her to make the choices she does.
I definitely see that as,
and she,
like,
doesn't want to let down the people in her life. Her,
yeah,
her grandparents, her mom, you know, herself. She doesn't want to let herself and the people she cares the most about, she doesn't want to let them down.
Yeah, and I feel like in order to not let them down, it's like, it's kind of like that. It is a little bit of that perfectionism coming out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if I'm not going to be the best, or I'm not going to look the best, or I'm not going to come out on top, I'm not going to do it.
Which,
or I'm
I
not going to deal with it.
Would confuse maybe even a 3 with a 1. Because, mm-hmm, like, a 3 is an achiever.
Yeah.
So to be an achiever, like, you kind of have your stuff together. You know, you know what you want, and you're fighting for it. You know what you want, and you're being task-oriented. You're making the plans and you're checking off the boxes when you're in a healthy place. So I was going to read 3 main 4 strengths. Every personality archetype has strengths and blind spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
But,
unfortunately.
being attentive to specific tasks. Rory's, like, goals to me when I was in college, because I wished I could buckle down and study for that long.
Yeah.
She's so good at getting tasks done, ability to recognize personal growth areas, connecting with those around them. She does connect with the people in her town. She invests in the people in her town, thinking practically and working efficiently. I feel like Rory is kind of the voice of reason a lot of times in Rory and Lorelai's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely practical, voice of reason, and striving to continually improve. I feel like Rory does strive to, like, she becomes like the valedictorian of her high school when she started late and she had a lot of
ground to, like, make up. Yeah.
And then, you know, she becomes the editor at her college. So she definitely is seems to be success oriented as well. Like, she climbs the ladder.
Yeah.
But those are I guess the reasons off the top of my head for her.
How you kind of, like, came to a 3 main 4. Okay. I can definitely see, like, how you could type her as that.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like the way you typed her more than a 1 wing 9. I like that we took a little bit of a fresh take,
uh-huh,
on the character, because I think a lot of people are like the townspeople because they don't care as much as we do, yeah, about getting into a character. And yeah, they kind of just, like, even when she's making these choices, they can still somehow, like, kind of see her as that person. And for me, like, I don't want to say that I hold grudges, but, like, I let people show me who they are.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you show me who you are, I'm going to believe you.
Yeah.
And so, and that's in real life too.
Yeah.
Like, I like to practice what I preach, and if someone else is showing me something, I'm going to believe they're doing the same thing.
Right.
And I think when Rory makes these decisions,
it's more so like, show me who you are, don't just tell me.
Yeah, because Rory wants everyone to think that she is, you know. And again, Rory has accomplished a lot. It's not like she doesn't do anything and says she does. It's just that the way she got to where she was wasn't necessarily rainbows, butterflies, and kittens, like she, right, wants everyone to believe. And that, you know, she's this just always overachiever, never steps out of line or does anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, you know, because a lot of townspeople, they did have a hand in raising her or helping Lorelai out with them, so they kind of do want to believe the best too, because, you know, they're like, that's kind of like, you see the best in your kids even when they make mistakes.
Yes.
So, like, I totally get where they're coming from, but I'm like, I'm not a townsperson, so I'm gonna type you what I think.
I'm an analyst. Son.
So, good
All
job.
Right,
I liked it. Okay,
thank
so
you. I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty proud of my typing.
It was good. Yeah.
This. I'm glad how it turned out, but I'm really excited to hear,
right,
what you have to say.
Okay. Okay. So I typed Rory as a 5 weighing 6. And it's nicknamed on Crystal Knows, because Crystal knows.
Stag Crystal.
As the troubleshooter.
Okay.
And a couple things. They're practical, they're independent, and they have a passion for knowledge.
Okay.
All of those things were like, okay, yeah, key ingredients to, you know, Rory. I see that. Their basic fear would be being incapable or feeling unworthy. So I'm like, okay, I can see that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then basic desire would be to be competent or feel useful. Kind of like the opposite of their fear is to not be their fear, basically. Like, just a couple things I wrote down. These are just things that kind of go along with a 5 wing 6, and I think go with Roy. So in times of stress, they withdraw from others.
It's just, like, so accurate. That's, like, her tell.
That's her instant stress, which I was reading also.
Oh, you ran away from your problem?
Well,
you must be wrong.
In times of stress, a 5 wing moves to a 7.
Ooh.
And I would think it would be a 7, an unhealthy 7. Because a 7 doesn't wants to push away their problems, right, and they don't want to deal with them. And Rory definitely does that, which is probably something she learned from her mom.
Right. And when usually when it says, like, when you are stressed, you move to this number, it means the unhealthy.
Yeah. Because the stress is never going to be the healthy version of anyone. No one's super healthy when they're feeling stressed.
Yeah.
Unless that's your motivator. And in some of these cases, like in some of the types, stress is a motivator for some people and they like achieve really great things. Rory's not like that. She feels stressed. She's moving to an unhealthy 7 range and not going to deal with it. She's going to withdraw from the people she doesn't want to hear from, mm-hmm, and rely on the people she wants to, what she's going to get. Like, she's like, I want to hear something. I'm going to go to these people because they're going to tell me what I want to hear. And that's how I definitely see
Richard and Emily.
Yes, because she's like, I'm going to go cry to, you know, grandma and grandpa. Yeah, like, and they're going to, you know, take me in and they're going to do whatever, you know, I want them to, basically. Right. But I don't think she's being as manipulative as I made that sound. It's just she knows that Lorelai is going to set her straight and they aren't.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she runs to them or just someone else. I mean, she even goes to Luke at some point because she knows Luke won't tell it like it is because she knows Luke cares about her.
Yeah.
And sees her as, you know, something, you know, kind of like right, special little girl or whatever. Okay. So withdraw from others in stress. They are good at picking up skills and taking in knowledge, and they want to improve the world.
Right.
They're kind of like their ideal, like, thing that they can do. Like, if their job, their life goal is going to be doing something that's going to improve the world. And I feel like that's very Rory. She wants the world to be a better place. She wants to be, and she wants to be a part of it. A little selfishly, I would say. She wants to, like, be a part of a movement, be a part of that, so she kind of, like, feels good for doing it. Well, which isn't a bad thing.
She's just idolized journalists
who are in the thick of it, you know, like, since she wants to be like that.
Yeah.
Some of the strengths are they can be very focused and organized. They have a passion for learning. They can solve very complex issues, and they can remain calm, which, as like her and Lorelai kind of share that. I feel like they both can remain calm in some, like, a big deal, a work-related, a career-related, a college. But as soon as it's, like, a personal relationship, I don't feel like either of them remain calm. I feel like they both deal with it differently. Rory retreats into herself and doesn't want to communicate that to anyone. She withdraws again. She doesn't want to hear the information from Lorelai when Dean says, I love you, and she doesn't say it back.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't want to tell Lorelai because Lorelai will help her figure it out, and she doesn't want to do that right now.
Right.
She doesn't want to deal with it.
And then it is an unhealthy 7 trait.
I think so, too.
You push it away, mm-hmm, because it's negative and you don't want to deal with it, and you can literally turn it off.
Yeah.
Until it resurfaces, and then it stabs you back.
And then you're like, well, she has to deal with it eventually.
Right.
And she does, but I mean, it takes her forever. It takes her so long that Lorelai confronts Dean.
Yes.
But that's the same thing Lorelai would have done. And so it's like, oh my gosh, you are your mother's daughter. But weaknesses, they can be defensive, which I think she's defensive in literally everything she ever does. You cannot criticize her.
Rory is defensive.
Or she gets very defensive. This one I didn't really see as Rory, unless she was like trying to be, but like one of their weaknesses is they can be seen cold or aloof. I don't think she's that way. I'm trying to think of like a way she is. The only time I could think of is when she is with Dean but wants to be with Jess and is trying to kind of like play it cool to Jess. Because Jess is with the Shane girl and they're like making out all over town. And she wants to like kind of act like she doesn't care. But I mean, any teenage girl would have done that. But, and then, okay, difficulty taking action when not inspired. And I feel like I see that in her a lot too. When things aren't going the way she kind of planned and she doesn't have that like motivation, then she's not willing like to go to school when she isn't inspired about being a journalist anymore. Mm-hmm. Someone told her no, and or not yet or whatever they said, and she decided that, oh well, then I guess I can't go to school for anything anymore because my whole world is shattered. Like, she kind of let that get to her. Mm-hmm. And then she withdrew from everyone who would have told her, you know, the right thing to do.
And Jess ends up confronting her.
Yeah.
She doesn't go to him for it, but he comes to her, which was like such great timing.
No, I completely agree. Okay, another thing. So, in times of stress, they move to, like, that unhealthy 7. And then, in times of growth, they move to a healthy 8. And, again, I very much see this in Rory, because when she's achieving, she's assertive, she's a go-getter. She, again, kind of something I feel like she gets from Lorelai. Because I think, well, Lorelai is a 7 wing 8, but I think she gets that, like, that drive. She kind of kicks it into gear. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like, when she's achieving these things, she's being assertive, she's being, she's taking control, but not in an unhealthy way, more of a, like, I need to get my life back on track kind of way, because she does it a few times.
Yeah.
I feel like when she's growing, when we see her like character development and it's like in a positive way, I do see like an 8 come out, because I almost typed her as not an 8, but I almost did a 9 wing 8.
Yeah.
Because I could see an 8 in her, and I didn't know why. So I think it's cool that you went to, like, stress and growth. And then I did the same thing, and I went, okay, well, 5 fits because I see all these facets of her.
Right.
And, like, I can kind of see this. But also, a 6 can be very driven as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Drawing into her wing, like, a 6 is very driven. A 6 is very knowledge, intellectual. I see a lot.
And the 3 in growth goes to 6.
Which it all comes back around.
All the numbers are connected.
They are.
It's a circle.
Well, that's, like, one thing I like about studying Enneagram or, like, typing characters is, like, no matter which character you pick, they're going to have something in common with someone else somewhere in the series, because eventually, basically, if you are whatever type you are, there's 4 other numbers that can be connected to you.
Right.
And so you have, like, your stress line, your growth line, your wing, and then, well, I guess you have either wing.
Yeah.
So you have 3, you have 4 numbers connected to you at all time. Your type, and then your wing, and then your stress, and your stress, blah, 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 blah.
Hashtag
Just look up crystal. Listen.
Anything we post on Instagram from now on is going to have hashtag crystal knows it.
Seriously, because she does. Let's see. I think that's kind of where I'm at with Rory, though.
We could think of a... Can you think of any classic scenes or any scenes that either both of the girls are in or...
Let's think of one where they're fighting. Let's think of one where they're having an argument. Because I feel like that shows both of them.
Okay, the first one I thought of was when Rory gets into Chilton and then she decides she doesn't want to go because she meets Dean.
Yeah.
There's that one, and then...
I'm thinking of the one they have when she sleeps with Dean.
Oh, okay.
And Rory...
Okay, you do that one first, and then if we have time, we can talk about the one from when she's younger.
I feel like we can do both. I won't talk forever. So, when Rory sleeps with Dean, Dean's married to Lindsay.
Yeah.
And also, just a lot happens on that night. It's one of my favorite episodes, but not for that reason. It's because Luke kisses Lorelai.
So crazy.
And it's like the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing. Like, the way they interact with each other. And Lorelai's on a high. She runs home because Rory was supposed to be getting some CDs. So she runs home and she's trying to, like, Rory, like, where have you been? I need to go to the CDs. I gotta tell you all this stuff. She's talking, like, you know, 5,000 miles per hour because she really wants to talk, like, to Rory, her daughter, about this thing that happened in her adult life and, like, all this stuff. And then out come, like, Rory disheveled.
Pulling her shirt back.
Like, and Dean disheveled. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you can see it. Lorelai, like, it's like she's been stabbed. She's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I like have my hand over my eyes because just like this whole situation, I just want to hide.
It's awful. It's awful.
It sucks because Lorelai doesn't get to have her moment.
Nope.
Either. You know, it takes away from the magic.
And Rory feels like Lorelai takes away from her moment. And Lorelai's trying to communicate to Rory, like, this isn't your moment. Yeah. This is a different moment that you're having right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a low for you. She's trying to, like, help her understand that, like, you made a mistake. This is a bad decision that you've made. And Rory is like, you're ruining this for me. Like, because, it was her virginity.
Yeah.
It was the first time she chose to have sex, and it's with a married man. But Rory isn't seeing the full picture, which I feel like... is a very maybe Lorelai way to act about that. It's an unhealthy
choice. So she is seeing it the way she wants to see it. She's justifying it to meet her needs.
And I see that a lot with Rory too. But in this particular stance, she's like, well, and I mean, it doesn't help that Dean is being manipulative.
Classic Dean.
You know how we feel about Dean. You know how we feel about Dean.
Dean is manipulative.
Yeah. He, to me, is, like, a destructive character later episodes.
He likes to gaslight.
Yeah, he gets what he wants. And then... Yeah.
Oh, my God. I get what I want. In this winter break, I want Jordan. Sorry, I couldn't help.
Sorry, Brianna Wallace just came through. Oh my gosh.
If you don't know the reference, it's Mary-Kate Ashley.
Holiday in the Sun.
Okay.
Okay.
So the one that I was thinking about was when also involves Dean. Oh, Dean.
Yeah.
Rory decides she doesn't want to go to private school, which she's been dreaming of. Because she's met this.
I will say this isn't necessarily Dean's fault, though.
Dean's fault. So she meets Dean, and he's a hottie, and
he's got the heartthrob hair. Ugh. He's got the jock player. Like, he's
leather jacket.
And he's into Rory, who Rory probably sees herself as, you know, probably someone who's, like, nerdy and a little plain. And, like, because, you know, Rory doesn't dress any other way than just, like, you know, plain, I guess is how I would say it.
Yeah, and then she says she doesn't want to go, and Lorelai, like, is like, oh, no, why? What's going on? Oh, is it because of a boy? Like, is that when she's like, oh, he better have a motorcycle. Like,
yeah.
You're going to throw your life away.
He better have a motorcycle. Yeah.
And that's just like, I feel like a seven's way of making a bad situation, like, entertaining.
She's trying to make a joke out of it.
Yes.
And I feel like she does that with Rory because that's kind of their relationship is like, she doesn't always mom card.
Yeah.
Very often. She doesn't very often.
And then Rory is like reclusing.
Yeah, withdrawing. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to
admit it's because of a mm-hmm. boy.
No, like, that's not why. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
So annoying.
I feel like that's. But it's funny how, like, they have a fight, and I think it might be that one. And she's like talking to Suki about it. And she's saying, you know, like, well, we don't really fight or something. But, like, they do fight a lot.
Yes.
They have arguments, like, a lot. Sometimes it's just, like, a little one. But, like, they do have arguments a lot.
Yeah.
I think a lot of their relationship, the Gilmore Girls. And, you know, I would probably include Emily in the Gilmore Girls. But
yeah,
when we're talking about...
I think it's about Emily, too.
But when I think about, like, Lorelai and Rory, a lot of the way Rory is because of how she was raised by Lorelai and how... I think we all do with our parents or elders or whatever. You kind of, like, take what you like from the person who's raising you. And that's like, okay, well, I do want to be like them in this way. Or I don't want to be like them in this way. But I don't think you can help it sometimes.
Yeah. It's like classic nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you can't help that you are a part of... You're growing up, you are a mm-hmm. part of your parents, you are a part of your family, you're literally, like, part of, you share their blood, you know?
Yeah.
There are some things that I think that you can't get past, like...
And, like, when you have a model of someone, like, you have this, like, model of how someone acts in certain situations, sometimes, because it's comfortable, that's what you slip into as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you learn from. That's what you even if...
And she loves Lorelai. She idolizes her mother, so why wouldn't she take on, you know,
right.
some traits of her mom?
Yeah. Can you think of a maybe to close, we could think of a favorite moment or favorite quote from either of the girls?
Oh, gosh, I have a lot of favorite moments. I love when they're just being, like, witty and quippy and, like, but...
I have one for Lorelai.
Okay, I have, like, a favorite moment of both of them. It's not a quote, but it's just, like, well, I guess it kind of is, but, like, it's when they're playing, like, the 1-2-3 game.
Oh,
and they're talking about it, and... And then I like when it's Kirk.
Oh my gosh, because mine involves Kirk. Kirk.
And Rory's like, what is it? Kirk like comes up to the table.
Yes.
And Rory's like, are you my new daddy?
Yes.
And it's so funny.
Oh my goodness. And then
like he leaves and she's like, wait, daddy.
My favorite, like, the memory that popped into my head for Lorelai is when she's acting like she likes Kirk. Like, yeah. She's, like, flirting with Kirk, and she does not know what, like, how to do. And
yes.
It's when she's dating, is it when she's dating Luke? I can't remember, but it's just so funny the way that she acts towards him.
Yeah.
She just turns on the entertainment, like, mm-hmm. charm slash flirting with Kirk, and it's just so funny. It's, like, classic Lorelai, just, like... commanding the situation.
Yeah.
And making it hilarious.
Oh, I think it's... Is it when Kirk wants to date her? And so she, like...
I don't think that's the...
That is hilarious,
that's
though.
That's funny, too.
There's a lot of good parts.
Kirk is so funny. He's so good.
I think one of my favorite moments, though, of just Rory... And, I mean, it involves Jess. But... Because I love Jess. But... I think one of my favorite, like, I don't know, just favorite memories when I think about, like, Rory and Jess is when, you know, like, okay, they don't always, like, Rory doesn't always do things in the right, quote-unquote, right order. She kind of, like, she cheats on Dean with Jess. She has an affair with two different people in the show. She kind of, like, jumps the gun in situations or, like, lets her heart go ahead of her a little bit, I think, before she does it. One thing that I love, and I guess this is more of a Jess memory, but when it's him and Rory and it's after the dance-a-thon and, like, they've had the big blow-up.
Oh, it's so cute.
And I think it's really sweet because she's crying and she tells him how she feels, finally. Because Dean had said some really mean things to her that she admits are true. You know, he's like, you've liked him since this, and you've been kind of jerking me around, and, you know, all this stuff. And she is embarrassed, of course, because it happens in front of the whole town. But, I mean, she did bring it on herself. Like, she couldn't get out of her head, like, Jess out of her head. But she's sitting on the dock, and she's, like, really sad, which she's on the dock that they have the picnic on, which is cute. And then she's sitting there and, like, all upset, and she, like, tells him, you know, like, you know, this is how I feel about you, and he was right, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, fine, he was right about me. And she, like, gets upset, and he's like, no, he's right. And then when he asks her, like, so, like, are you guys broken up? Like, are you done? And she's like, yeah, like, we're done. And I feel like in that moment, she's ready. But, like, she's ready to just be like, okay, well, we're together. And he's like, okay, well, I have to go do something. And he's going to go break up with Shane. And I just think, like, for all his faults, he's like, no, if I'm going to be with you, I'm going to do it the right way.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to make sure that I end whatever I'm doing because you're ended yours.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to make sure.
Dean ended it.
Yeah, but,
you know,
it's done. And he's like making sure they're not getting back together or anything. And he's like, I'm going to go do this. And then she's like, okay. And I just think it's a really sweet, like, for teenagers, it seems like that's a mature moment that they share.
Yeah.
Where she's like,
vulnerable.
It's vulnerable.
I think it's adult.
I mean mature as in, yeah, vulnerable. Adult. I mean, because it's like not mature in the way that everything came about. They made a mess of everything because they couldn't just admit their feelings in the first place. But I mean, like, it's vulnerable for a teenager.
Right.
Like, they're in high school.
Something you learn as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to be vulnerable, but you also learn the benefits of being vulnerable outweigh the benefits of being closed off.
And you don't see Rory, like, cry in front of a lot of people very often at all.
Yeah.
She's not vulnerable. Which I think is not being vulnerable is definitely like a 5 trait too. For me, I'm married to a 5. And he's not a very vulnerable person. But when he is, it's like he'll be very, very vulnerable. And then, like, you may not see that side of him for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, I can kind of see. Wait, I typed. Yeah. I typed Rory what Joseph is.
It's so funny.
Which is funny to me because I don't see a ton of similarities within, I mean, her character's life and, like, my husband's life as Joseph's life. But I do see a lot of commonalities in, like, the way they make choices sometimes and things like that.
I think my favorite scene for Rory from the first whole series before
A Year in Life.
Day in the Life. Is, like, the last or the second to last episode when Logan proposes to her and he gives her an ultimatum, basically, and she doesn't take it.
Yeah.
I guess that, like, I liked that.
I did, too.
I felt like it was a decision she needed to make that was really hard.
And she made it on her own.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like that she was like, I don't know how I see my life yet, so I can't make this choice.
And she'd rather take the chance of something not working out than definitely going after something like a marriage with Logan that she may not really want.
Right. She didn't want to settle. And I feel like
she wasn't ready for that.
If she wasn't ready to settle with Logan, then he wasn't the right one.
I think so.
And I think
we all know who the right one is. And if you think it's Dean, don't even listen to our podcast. Just kidding. Just kidding, because this isn't a Gilmore Girls podcast. It's Gilmore Girls is just what we're starting with.
Sure.
We'll have lots of other characters.
That was a good time.
I liked what we typed. I love that at least one character every episode we're not going to have the same.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know about our next episode. We probably won't have the same for either one. I'm going to die.
Yeah, we'll find out. Tune in next time.
Tune in next week for the next conclusion of Gilmore Girls.
Two new characters. We analyze
who, oh my God.
Who they are. Why they do what they do.
We are scientists. The connections that they make with other mortals.